Ladies and gentlemen, we are absolutely loaded on this Monday, March 18th, 2024, InfoWars War Room transmission. Your election headquarters, the fastest 3 hours on the internet start now. Yes, we are loaded, but I got to say, this is an incredible admission, but it's very important that we understand what Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson is stating in her pro-censorship argument today. And this is the legal equivalent of not knowing what a woman is. This would be like your doctor saying, I don't know what a woman is. A Supreme Court justice says she's concerned that the First Amendment could hamstring the government's ability to censor your speech. Oh, you don't say. That's like your doctor having an exam and saying, oh, gee, what is this? Is this male genitalia? What? Boy, this looks like it's male genitalia. Well, this might mean you're a man. This is strange. Oh, the First Amendment might stop the government from censoring you. That's a problem. Wow. Into the mind of a leftist judge on the Supreme Court, mind you. So we'll talk about the dangers of that and how serious that is. In a way, it's a good thing that in America can see. Oh, wow. Does this liberal Supreme Court justice even know what the Bill of Rights is? Does he even know what the Constitution is? Maybe she doesn't know what a woman is. That's something else. But it just shows you what the left thinks of the Bill of Rights or how they view the Constitution. It's just like an afterthought. Who was it? I think it was Mayor de Blasio, or was some mayor on the East Coast, maybe the mayor of New Jersey during COVID. And someone in the media brought up the Bill of Rights and the Constitution and said, well, how does this affect people's rights and their Constitution? He said, I didn't even think about the Constitution. I didn't even think about the Bill of Rights. Like Arnold Schwarzenegger, screw your freedom. Interesting. So we've got that. Then we've got some developments. There's a strategy right now. The Democrats have a deeper strategy. And Trump's legal team knows what it is, and there's some murmurs behind the scenes, but it hadn't really got out, and I'm not really at liberty to discuss. But there's a reason why Letitia James is trying to seize all Trump's assets. They want to completely bankrupt Donald Trump, and then it's going to bring on a whole new slew of legal issues. That's what they're trying to do here, and that's why the Trump legal strategy is to basically just run the clock out on this. But see, this is what they're doing to Donald Trump. They censor Donald Trump. They use the government to weaponize against Donald Trump. And then Vladimir Putin just says so in an interview after his probably record election win. And I don't even want to hear this. Well, you know, Putin, he just stole it. It's just stolen from Putin. You know what? I don't want to hear a damn thing about Russia or Putin rigging elections until we do something about our own. And that'll be fine. Thank you. Why is Barack Obama visiting with the UK Prime Minister Sunak? Are they just having a cup of tea? Are they discussing something more important? Or maybe they were just having some fun like P. Diddy backstage at an Usher concert. Some other big news out of the Republican Party, dealing with the Biden crime family, dealing with the new leadership at the RNC. Of course, illegal immigration news on the docket every single day. We've got some international geopolitical news, economic news. Oh, and I got two great guests coming up today. Arden Young responding to the latest Pornhub withdrawing from Texas because minors can't view it here. And then Martin Selner, who was arrested in Europe for his speech. So I've got all this news. And I've got literally more coming in right now. And there's no doubt, though, this is the biggest story. It's really not even close. It's dealing with free speech. And in fact, this is just so big because I was even having meetings with my attorney dealing with my free speech case heading to the Supreme Court. And some arguments and things that need to be done beforehand. And it's just the whole process is unbelievable. Just to litigate these cases, it's so expensive. It's just insane. And that's all by design to keep people from going into the Supreme Court, or to keep people from fighting back against government tyranny, and to keep the corrupt legal system as is. It's the same reason why they're doing Trump the way they're doing Trump. But it's just like, I got all this news. It's all important. We're going to cover all of it. But how do you even properly cover this? This should be the biggest story. And look at all the attention the mainstream media gets for lying about Donald Trump's statement at a speech this weekend, where he uses the phrase bloodbath, and then they all lie about it and cut it and edit it out of context, and then it's the biggest story in conservative news. I mean, you couldn't look anywhere, any conservative news outlet that wasn't covering this. It was everywhere. It was the top story this weekend. And that's fine. We get it. The fake news media lies. They're lying about something Trump said. They cut it out of context. And now they're even twisting it again. And we'll get to that. But imagine, for the mainstream media, lying about Donald Trump or taking something out of context, that's like, I mean, maybe like a 60, 65. I mean, when you consider how used to it we are, or how normalized it is, maybe it's even less than 50. But okay, let's just take it for what it is. The mainstream media is completely lying about a presidential candidate. They're editing things and cutting things out of context, and then pushing that propaganda, you know, full on, as fast as they can, all to the American people. I mean, you're looking at probably like a 65 on a scale of 100. When you have a Supreme Court justice that doesn't respect or even understand the basic principles of the First Amendment, that is like a 95 out of 100. I mean, you're talking about 90, 95. I mean, what makes 100? Like, if Joe Biden came out and said, I'm going to nuke a country, that would be like 100. This is like a 90, 95. A Supreme Court justice arguing for censorship of speech says, well, I'd really like to censor you, but, this First Amendment thing, though, it could hamstring me. Yeah, that's the purpose. That's not a debate. That's not something you should just now be realizing as a Supreme Court justice. That's something that you should already understand just to get a law degree. Rather, just to get a high school diploma, how about? But see, that's why they put the dumbest, probably the dumbest Supreme Court justice in the history of the Supreme Court, that's why they put her on there. Because she is that stupid. She won't understand anything. This is idiocracy. This is Brando has electrolytes that plants crave. She buys into the propaganda. She's dyed-in-the-wool, radical, left-wing moron, makes it through the education and justice system to become a Supreme Court justice, all because of affirmative action. And now she sits on the Supreme Court and she doesn't even understand what the First Amendment is. And it's like she's just learning it for the first time while dealing with one of the most important free speech cases that have ever been brought in the history of this country. Now, the Attorney General arguing in favor of free speech, it shouldn't even be an argument, but here we are when the Democrats are in charge, when Democrats are sitting on the Supreme Court, you have to fight for your free speech. When Democrats run the country, and when liberal Democrats sit on the Supreme Court, you have to fight, you have to sue, you have to scratch and claw, you have to get lawyers, all to just to have free speech, just to have a First Amendment. So that's what I'm saying. It's like, I got all this news and it's all big and I want to cover it all. But how is this not? This should be all over. I barely even saw this. Every website I go to, bloodbath, 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 or Trump this, Trump that. But Missouri versus Biden. Where you have a Supreme Court justice who's yeah, maybe the First Amendment stops me from censoring people. Maybe the First Amendment stops the government from censoring people. Ladies and gentlemen, the American liberal, the far left liberal Democrat, has some extreme misunderstandings, misguidings, misinterpretations, or just flat out ignorance, however you want to take it, dealing with the most important aspects of the United States of America, its founding, its values, and what turned it into the leader of the world that it is or once was. Our rights, enshrined in the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, our rights are given to us by God, by the Creator, unalienable, shall not be infringed. That means that the government didn't give you your right, God did. That means that the government cannot take away your rights because they didn't give them to you. This is foundational. This is the spine. This is the backbone. This is the central nervous system. Liberal Democrats don't get it, or they reject it outright. And so you shouldn't be surprised that the Supreme Court judge now sits up there and says, the First Amendment might get in the way of government censoring Americans. As she scratches her head or scratches her undercarriage, not sure if she's a woman or not. Supreme Court Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson backs government censorship, but thinks the First Amendment might hamstring government in significant ways. No, it's not that it hamstrings you. It forbids you. It forbids you outright. But not to a liberal Democrat, because they have a new version of how the government needs to operate, and they want to run it. They're control freaks. They're tyrants. They're authoritarians. They're totalitarians. And that Bill of Rights is in their way. And your rights given to you by God and your belief in that is in their way. Liberal Supreme Court Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson appeared to support government censorship during oral arguments today, claiming her biggest concern is the First Amendment hamstringing the government. No, Ketanji Brown Jackson, who doesn't know what a woman is, it blocks the government. The government has no right or ability to censor speech. She doesn't get that. The Supreme Court heard arguments on the Biden Justice Department's appeal of the Murthy versus Missouri case, where numerous states accused Democrat officials in the Biden administration of pressuring social media companies to unconstitutionally censor conservative viewpoints on topics like COVID-19 and election integrity. And this all came out with the Twitter files. And by the way, Elon Musk has been very outspoken about this as well, as he was the one that turned over a lot of this evidence to certain journalists so that it could expose how the Democrats were censoring speech. And they have the emails, they have the communications, they have the records, all of it. And it's not just the Democrats that run Facebook or the Democrats that ran Twitter or the Democrats that run YouTube. It's the actual Democrats in Congress and now in the Biden administration. The states argued that White House communication staffers, the Surgeon General, the FBI, and the U.S. Cybersecurity Agency are among those who coerced social media platforms to censor content. At one point, Brown Jackson claimed that certain situations may warrant government censorship. Quote, whether or not the government can do this depends on the application of our First Amendment jurisprudence, she said. There may be circumstances in which the government could prohibit certain speech on the internet or otherwise. My biggest concern is that your view has the First Amendment hamstringing the government in significant ways. No, that's not anyone's view. That's not a lawyer's view. That's not an interpretation. That's already enshrined in the founding documents of this country. That's the very principle, the core, the bedrock, the spine of the United States of America. So why doesn't Ketanji Brown Jackson understand that? Why is it that Ketanji Brown Jackson believes that there could be government censorship of speech? Because again, the American liberal, the far left liberal Democrat, does not believe in the Bill of Rights or the Constitution. They believe in the power of government. They do not believe that your rights are given to you by God as declared in our Declaration of Independence and the Constitution of the United States. They don't believe that. They believe they are God. They believe government is God. They completely discount that your rights are unalienable and endowed upon you by the Creator. They don't believe that. They believe their God. They believe government is God. And now you see this being espoused on the Supreme Court. Now, can you imagine if you had five Ketanji Brown Jacksons on a Supreme Court? Because that's where it goes. Could you imagine if you had nine? Could you imagine if the Democrats packed the Supreme Court and put 13? You just kiss your rights goodbye. You kiss your First Amendment, Second Amendment, Fourth Amendment. You just kiss them goodbye, and then they'll just cancel elections. Because what happens when authoritarians get power? They never relinquish it. And it doesn't take much of a course in human history to see where the authoritarian, totalitarian bent comes from. And that is the left wing politically. Communists, socialists, fascists. This is your modern day Democrat Party. And it might seem innocent enough because Ketanji Brown Jackson is a moron. But the Biden administration, the larger parties at play know exactly what they're doing. They know exactly what they're doing. And so Judge Brown Jackson can pretend like she's being intellectual, like, maybe the government can censor speech on the internet. Maybe there are instances, but that First Amendment is kind of, it might hamstring the government's ability to do that. It might just hamstring them. So what is she really arguing then? Is she arguing that because of the First Amendment, the government can't censor? That doesn't seem to be what she's arguing. So what is she arguing? She's arguing that because the First Amendment is in the way, maybe we should just get rid of it. Maybe it just shouldn't be applied for arguments or legal precedent anymore. That pesky First Amendment. Same thing with that Second Amendment, too, when they want to grab your guns. See what happens? And, you know, I have this argument, I have this debate all the time. People always ask me, and they say, but Owen, it's the uniparty, it's the two-party system, or it's this group, or it's that group, or it's this, that, the other thing. The most direct threat to everything we hold dear is the Democrat Party. The most direct threat in your face, one point of contact away from destroying this country, is the Democrat Party. I understand there's other issues. There are lots of other issues. But those things aren't one, two clicks away from completely eroding the fabric of our society, completely eroding the founding documents, the cornerstones of our civilization. The Democrats are. The Democrats are sitting here in front of us with a jackhammer to the cornerstones of our foundation. Attorney General Andrew Bailey is going to be talking about this later this evening with Elon Musk on an X Spaces. I just hope people realize how dangerous this is. I just hope people realize the precedent that could potentially be set here. And that's what they do. You put somebody like Ketanji Brown Jackson, who doesn't belong anywhere near the Supreme Court, let alone any judge bench. And then she somehow thinks it's philosophical or some new legal theory to even argue the merits of the First Amendment. And then you load up the Supreme Court with liberal judges that don't even truly believe in the First Amendment. And then you set legal precedent, and now, bing, the government can censor as much speech as they want. And bing, the government can decide which apps you can access on your phone. And next, it's which websites. And next, it's which TV shows. And next, it's which journalists. And that's it, the death of the First Amendment. And when you don't have free speech, what do you have? Well, you have authoritarianism. You have totalitarianism. This should be shocking and horrifying. But usually it's just Supreme Court news. See, the mainstream media doesn't think that's sexy. The mainstream conservative media doesn't find it sexy to talk about the Supreme Court and legal decisions and legalese and the Bill of Rights and the First Amendment. That's not sexy. That doesn't get clicks. Bloodbath does. Trump does. Oh, yeah, while you're over here looking at the mainstream media lying to you about something Trump says over the weekend, you have a radical left-wing judge who is retarded legally, questioning whether or not the First Amendment hamstrings the government's ability to censor free speech, as if that's some new legal theory and some new precedent that needs to be investigated and argued at the Supreme Court. What are we going to argue next? That there's no difference between men or women? Oh, yeah, they're already doing that. Judge Brown Jackson doesn't know the difference. That's right. So see, that's what they do. They just erode all common sense. They erode things that aren't even arguable. And then you've dumbed down the conversation so much that you have some leftard sitting on the bench like, I don't know. The government should be censoring speech, but the First Amendment might hamstring that. I don't know. We'll have to argue. We'll have to consider. I don't know. I'll have to listen to some legal theory on this. By the way, a man can get pregnant. And by the way, trans kids have rights too. Yeah. And Trump's a racist, but Biden is the greatest president ever. Oh, yeah. And carbon emissions are causing global warming that's going to kill you in 10 years and flood the world. Oh, ho, 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 ho. So they make you a moron. They make you illiterate, and then you don't even understand what's being done at the Supreme Court today to destroy your Bill of Rights and destroy your free speech. So you can say, well, the decision hasn't been made yet. Well, maybe not today. Maybe not tomorrow. Maybe not next week. Maybe the First Amendment wins. But this is a crack in the foundation right here. This requires immediate repairs. Judge Brown Jackson needs to be removed from the bench. She needs to be disbarred. She needs to be brought in for a congressional hearing. You find termites in your house and you don't address it, what happens? Ketanji Brown Jackson is a termite infestation on the Supreme Court justice. Ketanji Brown Jackson is a termite infestation in the Supreme Court and in the law and in the justice system. And she needs to be removed. Post haste, removed. There need to be congressional hearings. I mean, this is outrageous. There should be 50s attorney general making a statement saying, my God, how do we have a Supreme Court justice that is either too ignorant to even understand the First Amendment or so radicalized that she doesn't respect the First Amendment? This should be it. But she got on the bench after telling you she doesn't know what a woman is. Ooh, nice. 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 Did you see her goofy glasses? Did you see her skin color? Did you see her hair? She's fit for the job. She doesn't know what a woman is. So? Nobody knows what a woman is. It's open for interpretation. Didn't you hear Supreme Court Justice Brown Jackson? Who thinks that the First Amendment might hamstring the government from censoring American citizens? It might. I'm not sure she's read the Constitution. I don't know if she has any understanding of the First Amendment. So, ladies and gentlemen, make no mistake about it. We have a termite infestation at the Supreme Court. We have a crack in the foundation at the Supreme Court. If it is not addressed immediately, yeah, your house might not fall down tomorrow from the termites or the crack, but eventually the whole thing's coming down. Ketanji Brown Jackson is now the biggest threat at the Supreme Court level to your basic fundamental rights, and she doesn't even hide it. So, as the Biden-appointed Supreme Court travesty, Ketanji Brown Jackson is debating the merits or applications of the First Amendment. Joe Biden tweets this out. Our freedoms are on the ballot. Donald Trump and MAGA Republicans are trying to take them away. We will not let them. You just get left at a loss, don't you? You've never seen gaslighting so strong. You've never seen inversion so evident. As the Democrats censor your free speech and then argue that the First Amendment might not stop them from doing it, as they argue against the Second Amendment and they write bills to take away your Second Amendment rights, the leader of the Democrat Party, Joe Biden, steps up and says, Republicans are a threat to your freedom. As the Democrats import millions of illegal immigrants and give them billions of dollars annually, you just can't even make this stuff up. And then you just scratch your head and you just say, well, okay, I guess if the American people want to be ruled by liars that are going to destroy their future, well, then I guess that's just what we get, and you're going to have to make a decision for yourself to have some methods and means of survival when these crooks and psychotics get power. But then you say, well, did people even really vote for this? Was this even really voted for? So, I mean, talk about inversion. Talk about gaslighting. The Biden administration gets caught actively participating in the censorship of Americans' speech. The Biden-appointed judge, Brown Jackson, says, well, maybe the First Amendment stops the government from interfering in speech, but she has to consider it. And thinks that, yeah, actually the government can censor speech and maybe the First Amendment doesn't apply. And then Biden says the freedoms are on the ballot, so vote for me, the party taking your freedoms. See, you know, that's what's so amazing about this. And I don't mean to harken back to 2016, but it really does all go back to this. Because I think we all realized something. You know, those videos that got hundreds of millions of views, who knows, billions when it's all said and done, when I used to go out on the street and debate liberals or Trump haters, that was never even the aim. That was never even the goal. That wasn't even my angle. My angle, genuinely, my angle was, hey, I used to be an ignorant American. I used to not understand how things work. I used to be misinformed on many things. And now I understand things. And so my angle was I just assumed other Americans like me would want the truth. They'd want to see the bigger picture. They'd want to see the perspective that actually shows them how things actually work and what they mean. That was my angle. I wasn't left or right. But what I quickly discovered, and then those videos go viral and it creates a new genre of content on the internet of just putting a microphone in a liberal's face and showing the world how stupid they are. That was never my intent. My intent was, hey, you're misinformed on something or you're ignorant on something. I was too. Check this out. Here, look at this. Here's the real deal. Here's what's really going on. Here's how you're wrong about this or this or that. I'm not judging you. I was the same way. Now here's what I've learned. Don't you want to know more? Don't you want to see how it really works? And that's what I learned. I learned that, oh, wow, yeah, liberals and leftists and Democrats really don't want to know the truth. They like being lied to. And that's what's landed me to my conclusion. They don't have any political philosophy. They don't have any political ideology or principles other than they hate you, and whatever you stand for, they will stand against. You know, I didn't even bring this up because I have so much news on my desk and I was just going to cover it tomorrow. But it's like, there's a video of a 3-week-old baby. Yes, it's a baby. And it's probably the most high-def, incredible video of a 3-week-old baby that you've ever seen. And you take one look at that, that's a life. But see, why do I bring this up? Because if you go show that to a radical left-wing liberal Democrat that is truly a radical left-wing Democrat, not somebody with an open mind, but just somebody that thrives off of hatred of you, you could show them that video. It's on LifeSite News if you guys want to pull it up. Again, I didn't send it because I have all this other news, but you can show them that video and you say, this is a life. Look at this. It has a beating heart. You can see that that's a human right there. And they would say, nope, it's a clump of cells. Nope, not alive. You say, what? What do you mean? You see it right there. There's all these other first trimester's babies. They have arms. They have limbs. They can move. A beating heart. That is clearly alive. They say, nope, clump of cells. Just kill it. You have the right to kill it. They don't actually mean that. My guess is 95% of these women that go out and protest for abortion, probably if they were faced with it, wouldn't even choose abortion. They'd probably choose life. They probably wouldn't kill their kid. So why do they go out and protest and pretend like they love abortions? Because they hate you. So it's just like, how do you make sense of this? How do you make sense of Joe Biden and the Democrats attacking your First Amendment, attacking your Second Amendment, invading the country with illegal immigrants and giving them your hard-earned money? How do you even explain that? How can you possibly explain Joe Biden telling the American people that he fights for your freedoms and not Trump? Because you have to reach the realization, you have to reach the conclusion. Democrats love being lied to because they want to lie to you. And if Joe Biden can lie to the American people and get away with it, then they can lie to you and get away with it. And they love it because they hate you. They know. Are you kidding me? Everybody knows Joe Biden and the Democrats attack your freedoms. But hey, Joe Biden's lying about it, so I can lie about it too. I can lie to my Republican neighbor. I can lie to my conservative friend. I can lie to those MAGA Republicans. I can gaslight them and invert reality, and I can get away with it. Thanks to Joe Biden. And I hate them so much, so it makes me feel good. I'm sorry. I mean, I'm ranting and raving here, and I got all this other news. But it's just stunning, isn't it? It's just stunning to believe that this is even real. I mean, ladies and gentlemen, we are living in the Twilight Zone. You are living in a science fiction movie, and that's kind of what it is. We're all dumbed down by the bread and circus. We're all dumbed down by the flicker rate on the TV. We're all dumbed down by the low-quality entertainment on the Netflix and the music. I'm not judging you. I'm not. I'm there. But it's just like, So basic survival instincts, basic common sense is just completely removed from the equation now. That's how we got here. So how bad does it have to get? How much more Twilight Zone does it get at this point? I mean, you look at the world around you. You go to your major metropolitan areas filled with crime and violence and poverty and homelessness. Meanwhile, we have hundreds of billions of dollars for foreign countries. Illegal immigrant invasion to the tunes of tens of millions. You're paying for the whole thing, but you can barely afford your car payment, your rent, your mortgage, your grocery bill, your energy bill. Your rights as an American citizen being taken away, being removed from the equation, your First Amendment, your Second Amendment, and then Joe Biden says, I'm fighting for your rights, as he takes every single one. How much more Twilight Zone does this get? But here's the realization, too. This doesn't go on forever. I don't know how this ends, but we're reaching a precipice, and we're about to fall over the cliff here, because this is just unreal. All right, I'm going to stop ranting here about this very serious situation unfolding in the Supreme Court. And I got two great guests coming up in the next hour. And then in the third hour, we're really going to focus on the rest of this news and the video clips and everything else. I'm going to start getting to some of that now. But first, ladies and gentlemen, you want to talk about how the corrupt establishment, the Satanists, dumb us down so they can conquer us. They put poison in the food and the water supply, one of which, of course, being the neurotoxic fluoride in your water. So that's how they dumb you down and put you in a stupor and then give you Supreme Court Justice Brown Jackson and you barely even blink an eye. Of course, not in this audience, probably because you are actively using Survival Shield X3, the power of activated tri-iodine Survival Shield X3, 40% off now at InfoWarsStore.com. Derived from ancient sea salts deep beneath the Earth's surface, Survival Shield X3 uses a newly discovered process to stabilize iodine in an activated tri-iodine formula, bringing nascent iodine amplitude off the charts. The incredible tri-iodine formula featuring nascent iodine, potassium iodide, and sodium iodide, Survival Shield X3 can help support your thyroid and help with a healthy metabolism to assist your overall well-being. So, we're always searching for a new way to deliver more powerful and affordable formulas to this audience. So, we bring you Survival Shield X3. And there is nothing else like Survival Shield X3 on the market. Reactivate your senses, you might say. They want to destroy you from accessing your pineal gland. We want to give you that access back. Survival Shield X3. I mean, folks, so many people have thyroid problems. They don't even know it. It doesn't even get properly diagnosed by the medical industry, and that's because that's by design. But so many issues stem from that. Survival Shield X3, a great way to combat that and also support the info war in the process. Truly a game changer, nascent iodine, truly a game changer. Ask anybody that tries it for a first time, and they will tell you, myself included. Survival Shield X3, 40% off, 40% off while supplies last at InfoWarsStore.com. So then, I got so many video clips here. I got so many news stories here. Let's just start here. Let's get into the illegal immigrant news. And, of course, there's a bunch of it. And then we've got a lot of protests going on as well. Let's go to some of these clips first. You have a massive protest. This is in Brooklyn in clip one. A massive protest. They find out that another illegal immigrant shelter is coming and they protest here in clip one.
They chanted and mobilized. Hundreds of people taking over the intersection of 25th Avenue and 86th Street in Bensonhurst, Brooklyn, Saturday afternoon to stop a homeless shelter from opening.
And of course, it's going to be an illegal immigrant shelter. They just say homeless. That's a head fake.
Us taxpayers with our money what to do with it in our community.
Residents, business owners, and politicians all coming together demanding the city put the shelter elsewhere.
It's just going to cause more problems than we already have. It's going to increase crime. It's going to have people are going to be fighting against them. It's going to be a war here.
The city says the homeless shelter is set to open later this year at 2501 86th Street.
Now, again, it's a homeless shelter, and then it's not. It's an illegal immigrant shelter, just like every other homeless shelter. The one that we've covered even specifically, we saw it with our own two eyes. We asked the homeless in McAllen. There was a massive homeless shelter in McAllen, and then we saw all the homeless people sitting outside. We said, well, why aren't you in the shelter? They said, it's an illegal immigrant shelter now. And then they expanded it, and they bought an entire building across the street, and now it's a double wide, if you will, a two times the size illegal immigrant shelter, because you get more money for illegal immigrants than you do for the homeless. Now, look at what it looks like. This is in AOC's district. So they basically have an open air bazaar going on now, and they're taking all the clothes that get donated to them and they're selling them on the streets. You cannot make this stuff up. Yeah, there's the video. Look at that. The crew even pulled it up right there. Texas homeless kicked out of Catholic charities for illegal migrants. So that's a head fake. Because it's easier to get funding for a homeless shelter and then just turn it into an illegal immigrant shelter than to say, hey, we're building an illegal immigrant shelter. That's a little too abrasive. But this is what it looks like, guys. Give me clip two. Go ahead. This is what it looks like. In New York City, this is AOC's district. It's a open-air bazaar. All of that is the clothing these illegal immigrants get given to them when they come across the border. But I guess because it's not winter anymore, they're selling it, as well as some of the cooking supplies and children's toys and electronics. So this is what it looks like, the shoes and everything. This is all donated goods to illegal immigrants that they have now turned into an open-air bazaar. Wow. Illegal immigrant from Lebanon caught at border admitted he's a Hezbollah terrorist hoping to make a bomb was headed for New York City. Boy, that barely made the news, did it? That one barely made it. Basal Abidi, 22 years old, was caught by U.S. Border Patrol on March 9th near El Paso, Texas. While in custody, he was asked what he was doing in the United States, to which he replied, I'm going to try and make a bomb. And that's your open borders there. I wonder how many others got away. I wonder how many could just be sleeper cells or just waiting to act. How many? Now, here was an amazing town hall type of thing happening in Chicago, and people are starting to get it. If there is good news, to address my question earlier, you know, how much lying can Americans tolerate before they realize who's to blame and what they need to do about it? And again, that's not saying Republicans are the answer to all our problems, but Democrats are just about the cause of most of them, at least the ones that you're facing head on, the rising cost of living, your town's being overrun with crime and poverty and illegal immigrants. So people are starting to get it. Look at this. This is what happened at a town hall in Chicago in clip five.
1980, which of course should have been changed a long time ago. So they bringing them in, you wonder where the money coming from. They taking it, the COVID fund that was here, that money. You talking about all the housing programs. So when people pay rent, all the rental programs, that money, all the programs that we have in the city of Chicago, they are bankrupting us. They are taking from all of these programs that we have, and they're taking the money and they're funding the migrants. Yeah. Our taxpayers, we've already paid $32 million out of our taxes to house and take care of the migrants thus far. Now, we already know the only ones who qualify to become citizens in asylum here from the starts of the, they were here after August. They don't even qualify. But here we're going to be taking care of them for 5 to 7 years while there's paperwork floating on people's desk. And why? Send them home. Send them back. But Venezuela already said, oh, we're not taking them back.
Mm-hmm. So a, now. I got a question for you. Who did you vote for?
First of all, I have no problem with saying that I did vote for Biden because I was not voting. Okay. I did.
Okay,
but
listen.
Here it is.
Wait, that was a question. Okay. You answered it, right?
Okay.
This migrant influx that we're dealing with right now, this is your fault.
Uh-oh. Okay, well, let me say, hold up. First of all, let me say.
So that's what people have to start realizing is, wow, all these things that I'm dealing with, all these problems that I'm dealing with, the rising cost of living, energy costs, grocery bills, illegal immigrant invasion, high poverty rates, crime rates, violent crime, everything. I voted for the Democrats. This is my fault. But see, that's how they tricked you. Well, I want to vote against racism, so I'm voting against Republicans. Oh, I want to vote against xenophobia. I want to vote against homophobia. I want to vote for all these different things that don't actually exist. And then they trick you. Oh, I'm voting to stop climate change. So you vote for all these straw man, fake agenda, BS, lies. And then you vote Democrat because of it. And then you realize, well, crap. What did I do? I'm to blame. So, there's so much to unpack. There's even more there. So the realization is happening, but then what happens when nobody knows a Biden voter and he wins again in 2024? I mean, what happens when the hood realizes that? All right, let's quickly put this bloodbath hoax to rest. Let's show you the actual comment from Donald Trump first that they've turned into a media feeding frenzy here in clip 8.
Mexico has taken over a period of 30 years, 34% of the automobile manufacturing business in our country. Think of it, went to Mexico. China now is building a couple of massive plants where they're going to build the cars in Mexico and they think that they're going to sell those cars into the United States with no tax at the border. Let me tell you something to China. If you're listening, President Xi, and you and I are friends, but he understands the way I deal. Those big monster car manufacturing plants that you're building in Mexico right now, and you think you're going to get that, you're going to not hire Americans, and you're going to sell the cars to us. Now, we're going to put a 100% tariff on every single car that comes across the line, and you're not going to be able to sell those cars. If I get elected, now, if I don't get elected, it's going to be a bloodbath for the whole. That's going to be the least of it. It's going to be a bloodbath for the country. That'll be the least of it. But they're not going to sell those cars. They're building massive factories. A friend of mine,
So there you go. There's the context of it. He's obviously talking about an economic situation, a financial situation, a geopolitical, dealing with trade situation. And then what is the mainstream media die? They say it's Republicans want a bloodbath. They say Trump is on the war path. They make it sound like he's calling for violence, obviously a complete hoax, a complete lie, just unbelievable lying and hoaxing that we have. But you know, bloodbath is not such an unfamiliar term for the mainstream media. Here's a supercut. They love the term bloodbath. Clip 9.
But as Politico.com reports tonight on the, quote, bloodbath at the RNC,
headlines calling it a, quote, bloodbath.
Be a bloodbath. Not only is it going to be a bloodbath, but after they leave New Hampshire, it's a bloodbath on her home turf. That's really tough.
Trump has left a lot of corpses in his wake. I mean, we can count the bodies
as part of the, quote, MAGA drive to take over Maricopa County. And the headline refers to it as an impending bloodbath.
Columnist Charles Blow has a new piece for The New York Times entitled A Biden Bloodbath.
2018 midterms, you can bet that they 100% are fearing a slaughter. In fact, the word bloodbath bloodbath and massacre come up frequently.
The Republican Party will be destroyed. It's going to be a bloodbath.
There's going to be a bloodbath one way or the other.
Bloodbath for Bernie Sanders.
It's been a bloodbath there, shaping up to be a bloodbath.
Head off a bloodbath in next year's crucial midterm.
Off-year elections are often a bloodbath.
This week's bloodbath for Democrats,
a bloodbath at the ballot box.
There could be a Republican bloodbath.
They'll talk about a bloodbath.
It's a bloodbath. I have to talk about you.
It's going to be a bloodbath all day long.
Is in for a bloodbath.
Hasn't been a bloodbath on the way down.
Donald Trump bloodbath.
Be a bloodbath.
Predicted to be a bloodbath. May not be the bloodbath.
It would be a bloodbath.
More of a bloodbath. It's going to be a bloodbath in November.
Possible Biden bloodbath this November.
A bloodbath on Wall Street.
There's going to be a bloodbath
in Alabama into a bloodbath.
Obviously, there was a bloodbath.
It was a bloodbath. We're down 800 points.
This bloodbath at Department of Homeland Security.
And it's a bloodbath today.
There was going to be this bloodbath.
Election bloodbath.
It could be a bloodbath for them.
Bloodbath, possibly.
Bloodbath that went through with the Attorney General.
Bloodbath 99 days out.
The bloodbath is going to look like.
Presided over a bloodbath in the diplomatic corps.
Absolute, in my opinion, bloodbath, the Democrats are
calling it. Ticket sales turned into a bloodbath.
Ticket sales for singer Taylor Swift's latest tour.
It's safe to say the fans had a bloodbath for the company after the fiasco.
So there you go. They use the term bloodbath all the time. But, you know, Trump says it, and then they take it out of context, lie about it, and act like he's calling for violence. What's new? Now, this hoax was like, of all the mainstream media hoaxes against Trump, this one was probably addressed head on with the most rapid fashion I've ever seen. But that's not stopping the mainstream media from lying about it to this day. This was published earlier today. Context only makes Trump's bloodbath comment worse. MSNBC. No. You got caught lying again. You guys are phonies. You guys are frauds. And dare I say, you might cause a bloodbath. You, MSNBC, and the rest of your cohorts in the lying fake news media, you are the ones that cause bloodbaths. You are the media of bloodbaths. All right. Now, I'm about to bring my guest on here, but this just broke. The Biden campaign has just released a new campaign ad of Joe Biden using the Trump bloodbath statement against him and then relating that to January 6th. And Trump's statements then and the activities of that day. So, again, this is all this bloodbath. This is all caused by liberal media lies and Democrat Party lies. That's the bloodbath. Their lies. Their lies caused the bloodbath. And now they're tripling down. They're tripling down on the bloodbath hoax. But what do you expect? They can't help themselves. Democrats are committed to lying, and they're committing to inverting the truth and deceiving you. They're committed to it. So this is just, you know, more people will just realize what absolute liars the liberal media are and the Democrats are. I mean, but that's just, wow. And then relating it to Charlottesville and everybody else, I mean, my goodness. What do you expect? What do you expect from known liars like Joe Biden? So there you go. I thought that we'd put it to rest, and then they went and did that. There it is. All right. Joining us now is Arden Young, and she's been on with us before. She went undercover exposing a lot of, let's just say, nastiness inside of Pornhub, aside from just the content they put out, but what goes on behind the scenes. And the reason I wanted to bring her on is because we just got some interesting news that I wanted to get her take on, and that is the website Pornhub has removed itself from Texas because of age restriction laws. And so immediately you start scratching your head and say, well, why would Pornhub be concerned with age restriction laws unless they knew that was the majority of their consumers, of course, which they might be aware of. But that's why Arden Young joins us now. You've been undercover inside. You've heard what they've said as well with their own words. But I want to get your take. Why is Pornhub shutting their site down for access in Texas?
They've done this in quite a few states now. I think it's kind of their own little way of boycotting these age verification laws popping up. And really the reason why they're so upset about these age verification laws is, according to their own reporting, when they decide to comply with these age verification laws like they did in Louisiana, The traffic to their website drops by 80%. So it loses them a lot of business. And I don't know why that age verification is such a deterrent for their users. I happen to think it's kind of a combination between underage kids trying to access the site and also adults trying to access the site that just don't want to go through the trouble of putting in their identification information.
So what has the result been? I mean, because if you say that the age verification, I don't know, I forget the number. I think they said, well, you said 80%. Well, it's 100% yeah. now. So there has to be some sort of, they're looking for something here. And I'm guessing they're looking for age verification to be lifted. I mean, is that the goal, do you think?
Yes, they don't like age verification when the user has to put in a government-issued ID. The method that they claim to favor is having each electronic device, when the user receives it, have somehow the user's age attached to it. So they favor a device-based verification system. But my take on it is, what does that look like? What does a device connected age verification system look like? I think they know that it's almost impossible to accomplish. I think they know that nothing like that's really going to happen on a wide scale in the near future. And I think that's probably why they're claiming to favor that type of age verification.
I want to get further into that discussion, but first let's go to this clip. This was from your undercover reporting where you got somebody to talk about the verification, the ID verification. And so let's go to that clip real quick in 21.
What if America banned you right now? What would you do?
I'd have to go into work right now, that's for sure.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, of course. The cavalry would arrive at the office. We'd have to go in the actual office, go talk all night, lock the doors, and spend the night there. That's for sure.
That would never happen, though, would it?
Yeah, it could. Actually.
Really?
Well, Texas is about the baddest. Also, that's a lot. That's like 10 million people.
In America. Wait.
Just in Texas, 10
really?
Million. Yeah, it's like 10 million a day. That's a lot.
I got some questions there. When he says 10 million, what exactly is he saying?
He's saying that Pornhub's user base, 10 million unique visitors a day are based in Texas.
So that's just straight user number. That has nothing to do with an estimation of potential underage users?
Yeah, that's just a blanket user number. You know, I think Pornhub boasts 100 million unique viewers per day. And that's a lot of users, and 10 million of those are from Texas.
Well, when you sat down with this guy, I mean, to his credit, he was very open and willing to discuss this stuff. I mean, he seemed to even have a problem with some of it, if I recall your original reporting.
Yeah.
But remind me, how often did the issue of underage consumers come up?
Underage as consumers, it came up with other subjects a little bit more often. I spoke with a production coordinator as well as a writer for the pornography that goes on to Pornhub parent company owned sites. And they admitted that there's really no age verification process. Even when you're made to check the little box that says I'm over 18, it's really not a deterrent. That a lot of kids access their content, and they even express encouragement for kids to watch pornographic content as an educational tool.
Well, we are starting to hear that come from the liberal sexual philosophy, if you will. It might not be like, hey, directly go to this, you know, website, but they're slowly, I think, kind of grooming that into practice. And so maybe that's why they have a problem with that as well. But I don't get, to me, I don't think that it's necessarily anything political coming from them. For them, it's just bottom line, right? For them, it's just a money issue.
Yeah, absolutely. All the admissions that, all the employees I spoke with undercover, they all seem to think everything went back to money. Pornhub's concerned with its bottom line. The company is so hesitant to enact these age verification procedures, as well as content moderation procedures for the actual content that goes up on their site, just because it hurts their bottom line. They don't want to invest the money to do it, and they don't want to spend more money on making less money, as one of the employees I spoke with explained.
What do you know about the application of this age verification in Texas? Because obviously Pornhub is not the only website that exists for this content. In fact, MindGeek, the parent company of Pornhub, probably owns most of the other websites. Is this on every website, or is there a reason why it's just going after Pornhub, or what do you know about that?
Yeah, so this law applies to all adult websites. Pornhub has actually, their parent company, formerly called MindGeek, now called Alo, owns hundreds and hundreds of different pornography websites. All are currently blocked in the state of Texas. So they have sites like Brazzers, Reality King, sites that you pay for the content on those sites, and those are all blocked as well. As far as pornography companies that Pornhub doesn't own, I don't know. I haven't personally checked yet, but it is something that would be good to check, because there are other companies out there, even though Pornhub's parent company has a near monopoly over North American pornography.
So is this a ALO, I guess, is the name of the parent company now. So they are going to boycott those states. What are they expecting? Adult content users are going to step up and march for this? I don't think that's going to happen.
I know. I'm kind of confused about their response as well. I don't really know what they're hoping for. I know that they have a team of attorneys that is trying to engage in litigation with some of these states. I know that initially last year, the age verification law passed in Texas, Pornhub sued the state of Texas, and a federal judge actually put an injunction on the law. And then the attorney general appealed it, and the law was finally able to be enforced, which is what we're seeing now.
You know, kind of to get onto a different track of this issue, if you will, have you heard anything about this type of content being banned on X, formerly Twitter? Because this stuff is starting to get far more common on X. I think it should be completely banned from X, quite frankly. I don't think it should be anywhere on X. And yet it seems to be persistently there. I don't know about any age verification process on X.
Right. I agree. I think the age verification process for getting on X is essentially just putting in your birthday with no type of verification beyond that. I do think that a social media platform like X should just not allow pornography. I don't think that social media is the place for that. And I think most users of X would probably agree. Like, they just don't want to see that in their timeline when they're trying to read updates about news or whatever. I know that they did recently ban advertising pornography on X, but pornographic content is still allowed on the platform. And I believe that the age on X is like, it allows 13 and up. So that's really concerning that pornography is allowed on the platform. I'm definitely in favor of banning porn on X.
Well, and I'm sure you've had this realization, because I remember when you first came on with me and we shared the segment, it was, I think the title was something like Undercover, you know, Journalist Exposes Pornhub Agenda or something. And immediately after that, something kicks in with the bots and the algorithm, and immediately you start to see all this adult content hitting your replies, hitting your contents. I mean, the botted activity there is extreme. So now it's like, if I put this on X, I'm going to have to put an asterisk on one of the letters so it doesn't hit those bot algorithms, because it's everywhere now. I mean, I'm sure, unfortunately, you have to see this too.
Yeah, absolutely. I unfortunately see it a lot, and it's sad because I'm trying to expose issues surrounding pornography. I have no interest in viewing or dealing with actual pornography, and it's really unfortunate and ironic that a lot of my content on X talking about Pornhub and porn and adult entertainment in general is so heavily censored, when I see so much of this pornographic content that doesn't seem to be censored by the algorithm whatsoever, I just think that's so ironic and disturbing.
Let's start to get into some of the ins and outs of this practical application of trying to keep minors from consuming pornography, because I think on the surface it's obviously a good cause, but I also believe there's cause for concern, because we talked earlier, you mentioned the device-based age verification. Now, if I'm just thinking about this, who's going to be less likely to go to this website because of they have to show a government ID? Is it going to be a minor who gets a fake ID to look at this, or is it going to be an adult that just doesn't want to be on record looking at this? So I think that ultimately, you know, there's going to find a way to be accessed. So now if you're really trying to bear down on stopping this, you do eventually have to get to a device-based age verification process, which kind of just scares me, quite frankly. I don't want that to happen on the internet. And I could easily see, because this is like, oh, yeah, who could argue against minors consuming adult content on the internet? But I could easily see that's where this would go at the top levels of government and legislative levels, where now you have this content, this age device-based age verification. Do you see the dangers that could come with that as well?
Absolutely, I do. Technology is getting pretty disturbing in so many different ways. I'm definitely not in favor of having to show an ID to access the internet in general, or access a website like X or a social media website. If we're able to keep age verification for sites dedicated to adult content, then I am completely in favor of that. Outside of that, I don't see it as a good thing.
So that would be kind of a reasonable approach to make sure it doesn't get too out of control. You know, because you just, I don't know. I hear the arguments about banning adult content or pornography outright, and it's not really an argument I would get involved in, because you're never going to stop it. And, you know, maybe a First Amendment issue comes into play here as well, but you're never going to stop it no matter what. But there are ways to mitigate it. There are ways to stop minors from accessing it as well. I mean, but it's like, even if you tried to make it illegal, how do you even do that? I mean, I don't think it would be possible. This stuff is so common now that you couldn't even make it illegal if you tried.
Right. I think we have to think realistically in that, being able to easily access adult content online is just kind of our reality. I think age verification laws will help and will be a strong deterrent, but I do agree that parents need to very, very carefully protect their children, educate their children on what adult content is and how to avoid it. It's kind of like, you know, when you see it type of thing. And yeah, that's just the reality we're living in. It's really tough. I think we need to educate people on the societal and mental health aspects of pornography use, and kind of let people, adults, do what they want to do, even if we disagree with it personally.
So I wonder where you think this is going. I don't see the attorney generals from any of these states backing down. I don't see them backing down. And yet the porn industry, or specifically ALO, the parent company, has decided they're going to go into this, I mean, really this disgusting argument that, hey, this age verification requirement is killing our traffic. I mean, okay, I mean, go for it. That's an amazing approach to take, but that's the one they're taking. But I don't see the attorney generals backing down. So where do you think this goes? Who do you think backs down first, or what's the end result?
I really don't know. I'm going to be watching very closely, though. I can't imagine why getting involved in all of this litigation is beneficial for ALO. I think they're trying to win public opinion, perhaps, but I really don't see the Pornhub user base, like you said, coming together to march for their rights or anything like that. So I don't know where this is going, but I will be watching very closely. We've seen they've now blocked access in Texas, Arkansas, I have a list here, Mississippi, Montana, North Carolina, Virginia, and Utah. So this is not just limited to Texas. We're seeing more and more of these laws pass across the U.S. and many countries in Europe speaking about adopting similar laws. So we're going to see where this goes. But it's safe to say that I think ALO is going to be losing a lot of traffic.
So the age verification laws hit. You have to verify your age to consume this content. And ALO pulls their websites from being accessible in these states in response. That's what we have right now.
That's correct. And the only state that they've actually decided to comply, I believe, is Louisiana. Louisiana was the first to pass these age verification laws. And that is a state that ALO reported losing 80% of their daily usership after complying with those laws. So in the state of Louisiana, there's this third-party service where a user will put in their government-issued ID information on their ID, and then they'll verify that, and then it'll redirect the user back to the site.
You know, and I'm just thinking, because the last time we discussed this, you talked about, I mean, they've lost litigation. They've lost, was it billions? I mean, at least hundreds of millions. I forget what the number was, but they've taken major legal hits. But I am curious, though.
Major.
Because I'm thinking, how do they make this money? Well, somebody's putting their credit card information on there. So obviously there's some form of identification when you put your credit card information. I mean, it has a name and address and everything. So I am curious. I mean, I feel like the age verification might actually have something else behind it. Because if the consumers of this are willing to put personal information out already in form of a credit card, why would the government ID necessarily be different?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, we have to bear in mind that most of their revenue actually comes from their ad sales. So even a free site like Pornhub, when you log on as a user, companies are paying Pornhub for your viewership. So you don't even have to be putting your bank account information or your credit card information into the site for them to be making money. That is how they make most of their revenue. And unfortunately, that's where we see a lot of these advertisers paying the site. That pornographic ads going on the site aren't properly vetted for underage or abusive content.
Now, has ALO come out and announced their new endeavor to launch a VPN yet? I imagine that's going to be coming soon.
So actually, they already have one, and it's called VPN Hub. And what's really disturbing about it is that when it was available in the App Store, I haven't checked to see if it's still available, it was rated for 4 years old and up, which is just weird. And you wouldn't think, like, why would you rate a VPN owned by Pornhub? Like, the logo looks the same for 4 years old and up.
You know, to me, this looks like another avenue for, let's say, Attorney General Ken Paxton, because, I mean, this is, I don't know if it's right to say this is like obstruction of justice, but clearly there is a problem here when they launch a product that helps them avoid laws.
Exactly. Yeah, I think it's safe to say that VPN sales will probably be seeing a bit of a spike. But yeah, we'll have to see where that goes. I don't know if VPN Hub is currently active. We're just going to have to wait and see. It is a fact, though, that ALO owns so many more companies than they actually disclose publicly. So it's possible they own a completely different VPN that they just aren't disclosing publicly.
All right. I'm sure you'll be continuing to follow up with your reporting on this issue. Where can people follow your news coverage?
I'm on Twitter. If you look me up, I'm Arden_Young_. And you can also go to the Sound Investigations website, soundinvestigations.com, for updates.
And that's where you did your undercover work. Oh, by the way, is there any new clips coming from your undercover work? You just produced one more. Is there any new coming out?
Yeah, we might have a couple new ones, releasing some content that didn't really fit anywhere in our longer stories. So maybe some new content, and also I may be releasing more in the coming months because I'm still investigating in the field.
All right, Arden, thank you so much for your time. It's dirty work to cover this stuff, but somebody's got to do it. So thank you for that. We highlighted the issue of free speech. We're about to get into it and some wild news going on in Europe. Remember, folks, shop at InfoWarsStore.com. It's your support there that keep us on the air so I can get these great guests. If you like this show, if you like The Alex Jones Show, The American Journal with Harrison Smith, Sunday Night Live, now featuring Chase Geyser, all the special guests, all the special reports, special segments, everything we do every day at InfoWars.com and Band.video. Please remember to support us by shopping at InfoWarsStore.com. Great products you need, great products you want, InfoWarsStore.com. It's your support there that keeps us on the air. All right, now, if you're active at all on X, you probably saw the story of Martin Selner having his event, I guess I would say, raided and shut down and then arrested this weekend. And so I wanted to get Martin on today. Martin, what I want you to do here is just lay out the story for me. I mean, let's go from beginning to end. Tell me what this event was, where it was, how you scheduled it. You're in the middle of it. What happened next? Your arrest. And then what brought you here today? Let's just lay the story out for me. Tell the story, Martin Selner.
First of all, thank you very much for having me on this show. I'm a big fan, so I'm very happy to be here. And yeah, it was a speech I should give in Switzerland about migration, because I've written a book about migration. I'm a patriotic activist, and I'm for a complete change in European migration policy, especially against this massive illegal migration. But at the moment, in the whole Germanosphere, Austria, Switzerland, Germany, the globalists and the mainstream media, they're freaking out because right-wing parties and patriotic movements are on the rise. So there was a big campaign against my speech in Switzerland. There was a petition, and then left-wing media, Antifa made campaigns. And they even tried to pressure the state police of Switzerland to deny me entry to Switzerland. Didn't really work. And so I wanted to give my speech in the region of Aargau, which is one of the 25 cantons region of Switzerland. We had 120 people showing up at the venue. It was a very nice atmosphere, a lot of young people. I was invited by a patriotic youth movement of Switzerland. And suddenly the police showed up and arrived, and they were standing outside the venue. We thought, okay, maybe they're just watching us. And then I started my speech. 5 minutes in, suddenly there was a blast, and they really turned off our electricity. Then they stormed in, and they took me out. People were booing and shouting at them. They dragged me out, handcuffed me, and then drove with me half an hour to the next police station. They handed me a letter telling me that I'm banned and pushed out from this region of Aargau for 2 months. So that's happened right now. At the moment, there's also a trial going on of the state of Germany. So the whole Republic of Germany, they also want to ban me from entering just because I'm talking about stopping illegal migration, re-migration of illegals. That's happening at the moment. And I really think it's a big attack on freedom of speech because the globalist elite are getting very nervous in Europe.
Yeah, and your story from Germany, we can tie that into the larger picture here as well. And for people that don't know Martin, he's not as let's say loud, obnoxious, or boisterous as me when I go out in public. He's very well spoken. You know, I would even dare say mild mannered, maybe compared to me, but very smart, very educated on the topics. And so here's the video from the event. But how long were you up there before they shut you down? Because it had to be a shocking experience. You get there, you've got your event planned, you've got your audience there, and then the next thing you know, they shut the electricity off and bring in the police officers like this was some sort of a raid, like a drug bust or a trafficking bust or something.
It was really crazy. You know, outside the police was standing, maybe you're going to see it in the video, with this rubber shotguns, there are dogs there, and many, many police cars. I was just talking for 5 to 6 minutes, and it was very funny because in my speech, I said, you see, they tried so much to prevent me from entering because they're afraid that I can bring you this message. They want to kill the messenger. So I'm paraphrasing right now because they're afraid of my message. And then the electricity went away. People were shocked because they weren't radicals. So if you look at this raid, you might think it was a hardcore meeting of bikers or extremists. There were grannies there. Young people were there, young couples, completely normal median of the society. And I really have to say, I was quite shocked because that's not how the police normally operates. Normally, even if they dissolve an illegal demonstration, for example, I've been to many demonstrations in our COVID protests because I was very involved in the anti-COVID movement. And even there, the police told us, okay, we are disbanding and dissolving these demonstrations. You now have 20 minutes to give your last speeches and then you can go. But here they came with the political, I would say the political task to drag me out and push me out of the country. I think it was a shocking experience for many people because they always thought that Switzerland is neutral. They have direct democracy. It's a haven of free speech. And I mean, that also led even to Elon Musk asking if this is illegal. I definitely think it's illegal and we're going to challenge this in front of the court. I already have a Swiss lawyer and I'll definitely come back to Switzerland. Here you see this guy with a gun.
Yeah. Okay. So you were in, you're a Swiss national.
This no, Austrian. I'm Austrian.
Austrian. Okay. So you're, so technically I guess you're visiting Switzerland. I mean, I'm not sure which is worse to treat you, you know, a guest like that. But what were the police saying when this was going on? Were they, did they have anything to say? Were they like, oh, I don't want to do this? Or were they mean to you? Or how did that go?
No, the police were actually very friendly. And you could see that they were not feeling very happy to do that. That was very clear. And I think subconsciously, I think they were even supporting us. Because you have to understand, in Switzerland, they had 50,000 illegals coming to the country in just 1 year. And Switzerland is a small country. Now, 6 of every 10 pupils in Switzerland has a migration background. And in the big cities of Zurich and others, you have rampant crime. Just a few weeks ago, there was a young Muslim, an ISIS guy, and he stabbed a Jew in the street of Switzerland. That's happening in Switzerland on a daily basis. But here the state is not capable and not willing to push these people out, and they performed the first pushback with me. And the police told me that this kind of banning me from the whole region never occurred in the past 10 to 11 years. Normally, it's husbands who beat the wife, who then get a cease and desist and are not allowed to come close to the house. But that somebody is really pushed out of the whole region, that didn't happen in the past 10, 11 years. So in a way, it's also kind of a, I would say, it's kind of an honor to be the first. But I really hope that this doesn't become a normality, because at the moment when I'm not allowed to enter Germany, maybe in the future, I'm not allowed to enter Switzerland, the freedom of travel, the freedom of speech in Europe is being shut down completely.
So the current situation is they banned you from basically the district or the county that you were in Switzerland. Exactly. But there's other counties, I guess you're not technically banned, but yet did they send you to Austria? What, did they extradite you or what was that process?
They extradited me to a different region of Switzerland. But there, the police already told us, we have it on tape, that if we attempt to do any event there, they're also going to shut it down. So then I was able to freely leave the country. But at the moment, there's a trial going on to ban me for 2 to 3 years from the whole Republic of Germany. So that's what they are trying to do right now. So since this year, it got really crazy. It was all because I took part in a conference in November in Germany. There were also AfD politicians, and I gave a little book presentation there. And there was a huge PSYOP media campaign. They spread all kind of lies, which has already been disproven about this conference. But now they're really trying to completely, go very hard on patriotic activists, patriotic media. They want to shut it down because they want to prevent an election victory for us.
What is the crime that they charged you with? You can talk about the crime that they arrested you for here recently over the weekend, or you can talk about the crime they're alleging you committed in Germany. What is the actual crime?
Yeah, I got a leaflet by the police. I think it's actually somewhere around here. And basically they told me that I'm a danger to the public order and security. So that's a claim. Although it was a completely private event, we weren't harming anyone. We just having a private meeting there, but they claim that I'm a danger for the public security in Switzerland. That was my crime. And in German, it's the same. They claim that I'm disturbing public order.
I don't even understand this.
Yeah.
But when an illegal immigrant stabs somebody in the streets, do they get extradited?
Nope, they don't. And you know, at the moment, challenging and criticizing illegal immigration to Europe is more dangerous and more critical than actually illegally migrating to Europe. It's completely crazy. For Americans, it's always shocking. My wife is American, as you know, and I have to explain her every week anew that we don't have a First Amendment. So we don't have freedom of speech at all. And I mean, even in America, I think the First Amendment is not as alive as it should be when you hear about this, all these cases of people being arrested for memes, you know. But in Europe, it is not even there to begin with. And they are at the moment really trying to shut down the debate. Doesn't matter what you say. It's completely unclear what is legal or not. And I think I'm the living example that they just are afraid of a debate. They're afraid of challenging ideas. They want to keep out those ideas. But the great thing is it completely backfired because the same night in Switzerland, my name was trending remigration, which is our political proposal to massive illegal migration, was trending. And then even Elon Musk responded and reacted on X. So the whole thing, fortunately, was a complete backfire.
So this is just incredible. I can imagine, you know, you and your wife having the conversation, arguing who censors free speech more. Is it Europe or is it the United States of America? So we have a big free speech case happening right now at the Supreme Court right now. That was the big story of the day. I don't know if you saw that with the Supreme Court here arguing, one justice in particular arguing against free speech. But okay, you said they're worried about a political loss or an election loss coming up. But I mean, really, so speaking out against illegal immigration, I mean that's really what your crime here is.
Exactly. That's the main message. I'm against illegal immigration. I'm also against Islamization, parallel societies. And what I'm suggesting is a different immigration policy, like bringing home illegals, but also inverting the push and pull factors, because at the moment we have the most stupidest system in the whole world. We're attracting a kind of migration which is only damaging us economically, which is importing all kinds of conflicts, violence, religious warfares and battles. And that's obviously something that's very harmful and bad for our countries. And I can tell you, asylum majority in Europe, they just don't want to be turned into a huge multi-ethnic, multicultural, chaotic states. They don't want to become like Haiti. And the elite know this. And I think mass migration, in a way, also became a globalist weapon. Because if a population is torn inside and you have all these gang wars and they cannot really form a will of the majority anymore, then it's very easy for corporations and for globalist elites to play them in a way. And the sovereign nation state also obviously needs a people. And that's why, in my opinion, it's the long strategy of globalism. They're using mass migration as a weapon to weaken the nation states.
Well, and I would say, too, definitely here in America, they use this against us financially. I mean, we end up having to pay for this mass illegal immigration, hundreds of billions of dollars even. And so what they can do is when you aren't even financially stable, when you're financially instable, well, then they can centralize and control. And so I think there's a method there as well. So, okay, you're in the court process. When is your next big day as far as your case in Germany?
Tomorrow, because tomorrow it will be decided whether my lawyer will get the letter and we'll publish it, whether I'm banned from entering Germany or not. And then we'll start a court case. But I already have been halted from the police at the border. Last time I played them a bit because I pre-recorded a live stream of me crossing the border, and then I went through the woods of Saxony while the police were waiting for me at a different border station. So I also like to take the whole situation with a little bit of humor. But if this is really goes through, then I think I'm the first Austrian activist, Austrian patriot who has been banned from entering Germany for many, many decades. I mean, it's also a strange kind of honor. And I'll definitely legally fight it. But I think the good thing is they can handcuff people and they can hold persons at the border, but they cannot stop the flow and the spread of ideas. And I think that's where they're losing, because our ideas are getting very, very popular. And people are seeing that there's an alternative to this ideology, to the whole destruction of the nuclear family, of the people. There's an alternative to replacement migration. And I think that's what they're really afraid of. So they keep hitting us, but with every hit, in a way, we get more popular and we get stronger. And I think that's also what led me to your show, which makes me very happy. And I'm very glad that I can talk about it, because I think the same problems we have in Europe are the problems we have in America. They're using mass migration also as a demographic weapon against democracy, because they're keeping importing the voters. And when we have to convince other people with our ideas, you know, with shows, with actions, while they at the same time just import hundreds of thousands of illegals and then hand them out the citizenship, they are hacking the democracy. So that's another big problem. It's the illegal migration, it's the massive handing out of citizenship, and then the ethnic vote. I don't know if you know this, but the Muslim vote, you know, Muslim voting blocs are so strong in Belgium, in the UK, but also now in France, that it's almost impossible in certain regions for any patriotic party to get elected. And that's the dangers that I'm waking people up to. And I think they're very, very afraid of this message, the elites.
Do you think if during your speeches you decided to be critical of Catholicism or Christianity or whites in Europe dominating demographics, do you think you'd get the same treatment if that was your message?
Not at all. On the contrary, this is incentivized. You know, there's just one case, there are many of those, but this was a case that was very popular and became very big in the past days. There was a young German girl, you know, she's 16 years old, and she posted a video on TikTok, harmless video, that said, Germany is more than just a place, it's my homeland. And then she posted a video where she compared Germany to the Smurfs, because the Smurfs are blue, and Germany is voting for the AfD, which is the blue party, you know, like the Republicans are the red party, the AfD is the blue party here. And then her principal called the police dragged this girl out of the classroom and then interrogated her in the school building. And yeah, thank you very much. That's exactly the banner that identitarians put up on the school. It says, Heimatliebe ist kein Verbrechen, loving your country is not a crime. And that's also a big case. And that's how they're cracking down on completely normal patriotism, while hatred of Christianity, of a faith, of a religious and cultural tradition is being incentivized and subsidized by the state.
Yeah, it's funny. I make this joke because I don't want to see this, but if we want to get serious about protecting our border in the United States, well, we would just declare ourselves Israel, and then we'd have the strongest border in the world, and nobody would be allowed to cross it. We just declare that we're Israel, and we get a strong border. I'm being facetious there. So what do you think the sentiment is, though, amongst the average population, whether it's in Switzerland or whether it's in Germany, whether it's in your home country of Austria? I mean, you said obviously there's a backlash here, but is the backlash people are afraid to talk about it, or is the backlash they get more hardened in wanting to protect their homeland from an invasion or a cultural reinvention?
I think it's the latter. I think it's the latter. Because, you know, we are now in the final stage of what I call a population replacement. That's really happening. People claim it's a conspiracy theory and you're not allowed to talk about it, but it's happening. It's happening. I think also Elon Musk was talking about it on X. If you only have replacement migration, that's an official term by the United Nations, and you don't have enough children and you're overaging as a population, soon you're going to be replaced. And in the final stage of this process, you have massive gang rapes. Do you know how many gang rapes happen in Germany on a daily basis? There are two gang rapes every day in Germany on a statistical level. And these cases are happening so often right now this question, you know, of mass migration, of illegal migration, is not going out of the news. And that's why the Freedom Party, for example, in Austria is now leading at 30%. The Vlaamsbelang, which is a right-wing populist party in Flanders, is also 30%. Meloni in Sweden and even in Germany, AfD is around 20%. And that's the tide. And that's why I say remigration is inevitable, because I think people are really waking up, and this lashing out, this crazy repression is the same thing like the GDR or some communist state did shortly before the downfall, when the ideology is getting weak, when the arguments are getting worse and worse, the repression is getting higher and higher. And I think it's very similar for the United States, but maybe that's just my impression.
So if you're just a neutral observer, you have to observe some facts about this issue when it comes to illegal immigration, migration, invasion, whatever you want to call it. There's some obviously observable facts here. Like, how come it's European nations or the United States of America, North America, that are the ones facing this? You don't have this problem in South America. You don't have this problem in Africa. You don't have this problem in Asia. Well, these are white countries. Why is it that it seems to be this only happens to white countries, and that these countries that are demographically white are the ones that are forced to have this invasion, this migration, illegal immigration? What is behind this? How do you make sense of that?
I think it's a deep and very, very important that you said it, because there's a deep interconnection that many people don't get between the migration policy and then the culture and identity of a country. And if you're denied of having an identity, and this anti-white ideology is just rampant, it's everywhere. And if I need to prove it to you, just go on Wikipedia and put in black power and then read the definition, and then put in white power and read the definition. And how can two things that are structurally so similar be a hateful ideology and an empowerment in one place and then in the other? And if you are in a way denied to have an identity, if you have to check your privilege and you have to feel guilty for your ancestors, although every people in the history of the world did crimes, had slaves, fought other people, was cruel at some point. But if you're not allowed to have a strong identity and be proud of yourself, then obviously you will also not have a border. You will also not have a migration policy that safeguards your people and your nation. And what you mentioned before, Israel, Japan, Saudi Arabia, South Korea, we see so many modern states who have the same demographic problems as we do, and millions of people would like to migrate to Saudi Arabia and become citizens there. Millions would like to go to Japan, but suddenly they are allowed to have a different migration policy that preserves their identity, and we are not allowed. And it's so unfair, it's so unjust that a lot of people are getting aware of that. And I just say we have the same right as every other nation to preserve our identity. We have no moral obligation at all to take anyone in. There's no human right to migrate to the country of your choice. And this complete and utter lie of people seeking asylum has to go away, because it's been used for massive illegal migration. And it's just the truth. It's hard to talk about it because you're being shunned, and I'm totally demonized. You know, when I read my own Wikipedia article, I'm getting afraid of myself. Yeah, I'm turned to be this great evil master planner. But you have to stick to the truth, and you have to say the truth. And I think in the end, it will set you free. And I think in the end, the truth will win.
Martin_Sellner on X. Great follow there, especially if you want to follow his case. I didn't even realize that you had a big date coming up tomorrow as far as the Germany case is concerned. So I'm going to be looking to follow up and see how that goes. Unfortunately, I'm probably not giving you any news you don't expect. If I was a betting man, I'm betting Germany's going to try to keep you out of the country. Unfortunately, I'm sorry to bring you that news here. I'm sure you already expected that. But Martin, thank you so much for your time. Where can people go to follow your case or help in your case for free speech?
Thank you very much for inviting me. Yes, they can follow me on Twitter. I'll keep doing more English tweets and English spaces, but I also have an English Rumble channel and an English Telegram channel, and I do English updates on the whole European situation from time to time. I'd be very happy if people would follow me there, because I think we need to have more connection and more exchange of ideas between America and good old Europe.
All right, Martin, Godspeed. We wish you the best of luck.
Thank you very much.
We are now fellow kinsmen in the fight for free speech, and for that, we will be forever connected. Farmers are under attack. You need to watch this special report and then hear it from a farmer himself. First Fire, clip 4.
If you dream of escaping the cubicle and starting a farm, new data says America's farmers are getting wiped out, leaving hollowed-out communities that rival the Rust Belt. A few days ago, the USDA reported that the number of farms in America plunged by 140,000 in the past 5 years. That's roughly 2,500 farms going bust every month. They're mostly small farms, so farms earning below 50,000 dropped by almost 10%, while large farms, those earning over a million, actually grew by 36%. So what's driving the Great Extinction? Simple. Rising costs, falling revenue, and green mandates. Together, according to the USDA, these are expected to crash farm income this year by another 25%, bringing income for the roughly 2 million farms in America to just over $110 billion. That's $55,000 per farm. Not per farmer, per farm. For perspective, that's about one-fifth of revenue at Amazon.com for all the farms in America. Of course, the falling revenue is partly from productivity, better seeds, better machines, and those do reduce costs to consumers. But combined with relentless costs, up $17 billion last year alone, and rampant green mandates, they are driving farmers into the dirt. To give a flavor, the FDA admits that a single proposed rule on sustainability, a so-called produce rule, will cost a typical small farm $13,000 per year. That's one-fifth what they're making now for a single rule. And these rules are nonstop. There are thousands of them covering everything from renewable mandates to cow farts. In fact, Europe's farmers are currently blockading their cities for that very reason. The decline of American farming has been going on for decades, and it's accelerating. Since 1950, the number of farms in America have dropped by nearly 4 million, so that's about two-thirds, while the number of acres under cultivation dropped by a quarter, an area roughly the size of the state of Texas. It's driven an exodus of population from farming areas, mirroring the Rust Belt collapse, also driven by government harassment of domestic producers. Together, they've depopulated great swaths of America, leaving abandoned main streets and empty town squares that used to be full of people on Sunday. Of course, these regulations and taxes don't only hit farms and manufacturers, they hit everybody from family restaurants to corner stores, leaving many of these depopulated towns essentially a crossroads with nothing but a gas station, a McDonald's, and a Walmart. Chain stores big enough to digest regulations that would bankrupt a family business. In fact, they often lobby for those regulations for that very reason. To give a sense, a recent study by the National Association of Manufacturers estimated that federal regulations alone cost large manufacturers, those with more than 100 workers, an average of $25,000 per employee, which is roughly half their salary. But those cost small companies, those with fewer than 50 workers, more than double that at 50.
We used to make a fair amount of return on our cattle, but the industry has changed dramatically with the government allowing the consolidation of the meat processing business. Four companies, giant companies, got together and decided to roll that up, consolidate it, and that's just business. But when we get on the other side of it, and we take into account the ramifications on our national economic health, it has a very detrimental effect. Our government allowed two giant companies controlled by foreign governments to come in and acquire. One of them is controlled by the Chinese, and they bought Smithfield out of North Carolina. And the other one was a Brazilian company that came in and bought up one of the other major players. So now we have an industry, 85% of it actually has been consolidated and rolled up and controlled by four companies. Four companies now are dictating who gets what, where, and when. They say, but nobody thought our government would let 50% or more of the beef processing be controlled by countries outside of the U.S. It comes down to our own food source security. The geopolitical situation we find ourselves in, why would we want to have an antagonist own 25% of our meat processing? It makes no sense at all.
Horse Plus, ladies and gentlemen, the flagship elite supplement of InfoWarsStore.com is 50% off the ingredients in this powerful supplement, like PQQ, CoQ10, Organic Reishi, and so much more are known game changers, dare I say life changers. What are you doing for telomere support? Telomere support? What? I don't even know what telomere support is. Well, you might want to learn about it. And then you'll find out why DNA Force Plus is so imperative for telomere support. I make sure DNA Force Plus is part of my daily regimen. 2 in the morning, 2 at night as well. Never miss my DNA Force Plus. And of course, all these ingredients were chosen for their ability to help support heart function, cellular energy production, assist in boosting mental health, supporting healthy skin, blood vessel health, so much more. DNA Force Plus, 50% off while supplies last. at InfoWarsStore.com. And it's your support there that keep us on the air. So much news to get to. Let's just start pile driving through this. We have this from the House Oversight Committee, which is still run by Republicans for now. But I think when you see this, it gives you an idea of why so many Republicans are resigning their seats in the House. And so many voted to oust George Santos. Well, because many of the Republicans are actually Democrats and they're actually working for the Democrat agenda. And so they can't have the Republicans running the House Oversight Committee. They need to sabotage it instead. But this is from the House Oversight Committee. The White House is panicking. President Biden wants our impeachment inquiry to end, but that's not for the subject of the investigation to decide. This is just more obstruction from the Biden White House. The White House is obstructing Congress from obtaining the following. All drafts of then-Vice President Biden's speech delivered to the Ukrainian Rada in December 2015. Joe Biden's emails with his family's business associates where he used an alias. Now, that's a key one, folks, because they claimed that they already turned over all the emails. And they say, oh, Biden cooperated. Well, he turned over the emails, but not the emails where he was using a pseudonym, a sacred name, so that people couldn't follow his communications. Interviewing current and former White House staff about President Biden's mishandling of classified documents. Interviewing a current Biden administration official about his knowledge of possible FARA violations related to Burisma. The White House wants to hide the evidence we've unearthed about the Biden's corruption. The Bidens and their associates raked in over $24 million from 2014 to 2019 by selling Joe Biden as the brand. They have the receipts. They have the bank records, the wire transfers, the 10% for the big guy evidence. They literally have it. You think they just made up the number 24 million? No, they have it. And so Joe got, what, 2.4 million from that? Must be nice. Vice President Biden dined, attended meetings, spoke on speakerphone, and had coffee with his son's foreign associates. He lied about that. Joe Biden has met with nearly all foreign associates, funneling his family millions. Joe Biden has met with nearly all foreign associates. I don't know why I got to. Sorry, I got to repeat there. Witnesses' testimonies reveal Joe Biden not only knew of and participated in, but enabled the Biden business. And he was used to close deals with Russian and Chinese entities. Oh, Russia. But then it's the Bidens. By the way, who do you think's really running this? Do you think this is Hunter Biden's brainchild? Do you think this is James Biden's brainchild? I doubt it. I bet this is Joe Biden's brainchild. He said, here's what you can do. Go around the world, have these meetings, sell political access to me. I get 10%. President Biden has lied nearly two dozen times about his family's business dealings. We will not be intimidated by the White House. We will continue to obtain facts for the American people and deliver accountability. Well, I guess that is to be seen. This is the big question, truly. What strategy, if any, do the House Republicans have? What strategy, if any, do the House Republicans have? Because if there's no strategy with this, then there will be no accountability and there will be no victory. But if there is a strategy, you can leverage this at least to a major political victory. Whether that results in a 2024 victory is another story, perhaps. But if you have a strategy and a timing strategy and a revelation strategy, then you can accomplish something. But without that, I don't see any difference. Biden will be exposed as a criminal and nothing will happen. So let's hope there's a strategy. The new leadership of the Republican Party certainly has more strategy than the old leadership. In fact, it's really not even close. You went from Ronna Romney McDaniel, who had no strategy, to Laura Trump, who has a lot of strategy. So it would appear Laura Trump is really running things. and Watley is just kind of the seat warmer and the front man and maybe the financial executive type of guy. But Laura seems to be the real face of the new RNC, and that's a good thing. And last week, we discussed the positive changes that have already happened under Laura Trump's leadership with fundraising, the election accountability, poll watching, and all that. And now she has done what has been needed to be done for a long time. And by the way, we called it right here on this show first. I wonder if Laura listens. Scott Presler has now been hired by the RNC for voter outreach. Thank goodness. And talk about what a well-deserved honor for Scott Presler. And what a smart move by Laura Trump to recognize all the groundwork that he's made and all the experience now as well to lead it at a national level. I mean, let's just look at what the guy's been up to this weekend. Oh, and he has the numbers. That's how good he is. He does voter data like the Democrats do. He's got it down to the numbers. The new voter outreach at the RNC, Scott Presler, we're 2,097 votes away from flipping Bucks County, Pennsylvania. Will be read soon. We're 1,233 voters away from flipping Center County, Pennsylvania from blue to red soon. We're 3,076 voters away from flipping Luzerne County, Pennsylvania from blue to red soon. This is a big deal. Did you get anything of that from the RNC before? Did you get anything of that from Ronna Romney McDaniel or any of her butt injections? No. Scott Presler has the data. What else is he up to? He's driving to Pittsburgh to register a first-time voter. Then Candace Owens will be speaking at the University of Pittsburgh, so you know we'll be there to register everyone to vote. Please feel free to send tips for voter registration opportunities. So he's now working with Candace Owens at her events to register voters. Just what he's up to in a single weekend. Since 2020, Kentucky removed more than 212,000 dead voters from its voter rolls. In February, nearly 16,000 dead voters were removed. Voter registration decreased on the Republican side by 1,600, on the Democrat side by 7,900. Oh, not that we had much problems in Kentucky for Republicans anyway, but it's just, you know, that number is consistent as far as the ratio across the country. This is why winning Secretary of State elections is so important. Boy, this guy seems to know what he's doing. He was in Pennsylvania. Meet Michael. He spent his Sunday registering voters outside of a supermarket. If you live in Susquehanna County, Pennsylvania, please connect with at Mikey Pobro, +7 in Pennsylvania. So he's getting others to get out and register voters. This is the new right. This is the new Republican Party. We want victory. And we have people that are willing to fight for victory and to fight for the future of this country. This is no longer your old Republican Party that sits and sips on their martinis at the country club. This is no longer the Ronna Romney McDaniel Republican Party that spends all of her money on flowers and injections. This is no longer the old Republican Party that says a bunch but expects no results. This is the new Republican Party. We want results. We understand what we're up against. And we understand, and perhaps maybe the biggest understanding is that we understand that the Republican Party was the enemy of the country in many ways. But just like a weapon of war can be used against you, you take over the weapon of the war and then you use it against your opposition. And that's what we have going up. That's what we have going on right now. Of course, the Democrats are still far ahead of us when it comes to their commitment to their cause. That's why what they're doing to Trump is so obviously egregious. Now, they want to seize all of Trump's assets. This is all what the New York case was all about, folks. This is why the Mar-a-Lago case, this is what it was all about. This is why they lied about the value of Mar-a-Lago. And there might even be something more to that. But this is why they did it, because they want to seize all of Trump's assets and they want to leave him with nothing. And then they actually want him to default on other bank loans, which will then result in that's it for Trump. And, I mean, they basically just, I guess, want him homeless on the side of the river. Trump can't post $664 million bond in New York civil case, according to the prosecuting attorneys. Civil fraud debt, New York Attorney General says she'll seize Trump's property if he can't pay the $400-plus million. Now, Trump's lawyer, Alina Haba, brushes off the New York Attorney General threat to seize Trump's assets, saying it will not be successful. Now, I want to be careful to not give away any behind-the-scenes information here, but did they lie about the value of Mar-a-Lago because they knew it was Trump's biggest asset? And did they have to go after Trump and then hit him with this massive, ludicrous civil fraud fee, assuming he wouldn't be able to pay it, so they could seize his assets? I think the answer might be yes. This all seems contrived. It all seems like a strategy. They knew exactly what they were doing. Trump's number one asset could be his Mar-a-Lago estate. Now, Trump has never defaulted on any loans or missed any loans. But, oh, if you hit him with a massive civil fraud fee, you claim Mar-a-Lago is only worth $18 million, and then you seize his assets, well, guess what? Now he's going to miss some loans, isn't he? That's what they're doing. That's their strategy. Meanwhile, what's Joe Biden up to? Joe Biden is making all the sense in the world over St. Paddy's Day weekend. First of all, tell me if Joe Biden makes any sense here in clip 11, but if you can make sense of it, would you even believe it if you could hear Biden over the weekend, a St. Paddy's Day speech?
One of the men who helped build that was Edward Blewett, my great-great-great-grandfather. He worked in the town brickyard. In 1828, he was paid, and they gave me a receipt, £21.12, to help supply the bricks for that cathedral. It was made, and I was able to touch some of my own hands, the very bricks he made.
He was able to touch some of his own hands. Okay, so obviously fumbling, bumbling, mush-mouthing it, but do you even believe anything? He just said his great-great-great-great-grandfather built a cathedral with his bare hands, and then he touched it? Who knows what you can believe from this serial liar? Probably not much. But then there was a St. Patrick's Day parade in clip 12, and you can see there was a funny depiction of Joe Biden, actually. Here, guys, go ahead. Clip 12. There he is. It's Joe Biden. He's lost and confused at the St. Paddy's Day parade eating ice cream. So everybody knows what's going on with this absolute clown, this travesty, this embarrassment of a president. Stolen elections have consequences. Stolen elections have consequences. And everybody knows it, including Vladimir Putin. But we'll have more of that coming up. Now, Kamala Harris, this story actually just got more interesting because some news broke while I was on the air, and we'll try to pull that up for the crew. But here's Kamala Harris campaigning with RuPaul. She wants to get out the drag vote. Guys, go ahead and roll clip 13.
Right, go to vote.gov and register today. Make sure your voice is heard.
Woohoo! Nice. That'll win some votes. But did you know that RuPaul is famous for posing in Confederate flag regalia? Did you know that, bigot? Oh my gosh, Kamala! How could you use somebody that's obviously a Confederate, a racist, a bigot, a white supremacist, RuPaul, that would dare pose in Confederate flag dresses? What a shame. Now, there was another drag queen or drag performer that Kamala Harris was campaigning with, and some interesting news broke. I'm going to pull this up here. and I'll send this to you guys. Here we go. This just broke moments ago. All right, I just sent it to you guys. Four people allege that actor and drag star Shangela either sexually assaulted them or attempted to have sex with them when they were too inebriated to consent. Well, that same drag performer has campaigned with Kamala Harris. Wow. But with the Me Too movement, you know, all you have to do is accuse and people are guilty. So Kamala Harris is campaigning with Confederate flag-wearing drag queens and drag queens that have been accused of sexual assault. Wow. Do you think the media will hold her accountable for that? Do you think the media will say anything negative or print anything negative about Kamala Harris for those affiliations? You think anything like that? Why the double standard? Why the double standard? And why is Barack Obama meeting in person with UK Prime Minister Rishi Sunak? You guys can just roll B-roll of clip 14 while we're reporting here. Barack Obama visits Downing Street for surprise meeting in number 10. By the way, this is the first time the two have met privately. Barack Obama drops in for a cup of tea with UK Prime Minister Rishi Sunak. What is really going on here? Are they just having a nice meeting like Usher and Meek Mill backstage at an Usher or a Diddy concert? Or are they is Barack Obama the real president and so he's the one meeting, or is something else going on? First meeting ever. What is really going on here? Is there something going on with the royal family that he needs to get private information? Why couldn't they just have it over the phone? What is really going on? Something's going on for Barack Obama to make the first personal visit and meet in person. Something's obviously happening. You know, Biden couldn't make the trip. Nope, that wouldn't be... I don't think that would be possible for Biden at this point. A little too risky, perhaps. A little too risky. This was just one night in Chicago, but it's the heat. Chicago shootings, 10 shot, 5 fatally, including 15-year-old girl in a car, man on CTA bus. Police say the warm temperatures made for a violent night across the city Tuesday into Wednesday. That was last week. So it was the warm temperatures, guys. Now, it is true that when the temperatures warm up, the violent crime increases. Not if you're Jussie Smollett, though. It'd be negative 30 degrees and you're getting assaulted with a noose, but that's a different story. So one night, 5 killed. But should we do our little weekend crime? Oh, there you go. I didn't even get to do my over-under. At least 18 shot, 4 killed, and weekend gun violence across the city. Anybody talking about that? Any calls from gun control because of that? Any concern? Do we need the military? Do we need to make that stronger? Do we need a police force? No, you just accept that. We're told that's just normal. You just accept that if you live in Chicago, there's going to be, you know, at least 10 people shot every weekend, a couple dead, and that's just normal. We don't talk about that. We don't talk about that going on in our inner cities, Chicago, Baltimore, St. Louis. You just don't talk about that. That's just normal. The Democrats have already conquered that territory, so we don't have to make an issue out of it. Okay? Now, what is going on with these crime statistics? And we've reported on this before, but somebody went and dug into the data, and this is crazy. So pulled the Texas Sex Offender Registry analysis. I downloaded the entire database and can now easily query it to identify entries with incorrect race / ethnicity. And so when there's incorrect entries, would you be surprised to find out it only goes one way? Kind of like how we have all these issues with voter tabulations, and then every time they correct it, the Democrat gains votes and the Republican lose votes. So the Texas Sex Offender Registry was analyzed, it found that the government data was insanely wrong. In government data, it says 40% of offenders are white, but after removing all blacks and Hispanics that were listed as white, it drops to 28%. That was the only mistake in the listing. No whites were listed as Hispanic or blacks, only blacks and Hispanics being listed as whites. Why is that happening? Why is that happening? Seriously, what is the reason for that? And why does it only go one way? So it's not just, oh, well, there's an error here or there. Well, 100% of the errors, more than 10%, going the same way? What is the explanation for that, I wonder? Tyson Foods hoping to hire 40,000 illegal immigrants for labor manufacturing jobs. But they say they're asylum seekers. Well, that's the cheap labor they're bringing in. California lied about job growth. Has to revise number from 325,000 down to 50,000. So they lied about that. The Democrats lie about everything. And what are they going to do with all these empty job spaces, empty office buildings in Pittsburgh and even in Austin? What do you think they're going to do with all these massive empty business buildings? Probably give them to illegal immigrants? Yeah, probably. All right, let's get into some geopolitical news here. This has absolutely nothing to do with the TikTok ban. Nothing to do with it at all. Don't try to connect the dots here. This is completely an isolated incident, an isolated data set here. Nothing to do with anybody trying to ban TikTok. But here are your trends. Here are your trends on TikTok dealing with the Israel-Palestinian conflict. Let's see here. 82 million free Palestine. 35 million free Palestine, 5 million free Gaza, another 4 million free Palestine, save Gaza, 4 million, stand with Palestine, 4 million, I stand with Palestine, 4 million, let's see, save Palestine, 2 million, end the occupation, 2 million, pray for Palestine, 2 million, Palestine will be free, 2 million, oh, there it is, I stand with Israel, there's the one right there, all the way down there at the bottom, 2 million. So about, I don't know, like 1% of the engagement pro-Israel there on TikTok. But this has nothing to do with the TikTok ban. This has nothing to do with the forced selling of property, selling of assets, the forced offing of assets, and then getting someone else to buy it that may or may not have some affiliation with Israel. It has nothing to do with that. This is totally isolated. It has nothing to do with it, guys, all right? So stop sending me this data pretending like it has anything to do with the TikTok ban, please. Please. Stop it. Now the ADL is back at it. Of course, getting serious, that's considered hate speech. So if you support Palestine or you don't want to see what Israel is doing in the Gaza Strip, then that's actually anti-Semitic hate speech. Just listen to the ADL, who's been pushing to get it sold off for a long time here. Reported hate crime incidents across the country are at record highs. Really? And who do you think the victim is, according to the ADL? Ah, there it is. With anti-Jewish hate crimes at numbers not seen in decades. These records do not capture the full problem. ADL was honored to have the Improving Reporting and Prevent Hate Crime Act unveiled at hashtag never is never. And it's only to protect quote-unquote anti-Semitic speech or activity. So you can criticize or attack white people all day long. You can criticize or attack black people all day long, Hispanic people, Asian people, Muslim people, Christian people. That's all fair game. They can be attacked, ridiculed, but not Jewish people. And if you question anything Israel does, that's anti-Semitic hate speech, and it's now considered that by law. Look, no matter how you feel about Israel, no matter how you feel about Jewish people, how is this not concerning and obvious? I mean, this is extremely obvious what's going on here. And we're talking about Chinese influence on TikTok. How about Israel influence on Congress? How about Israel influence on legislation? It couldn't be more ridiculous at this point how obvious it is. And they're using China as the scapegoat. So it used to be blame everything on Muslims or Arabs. Now they're using China for their scapegoat. I mean, it's just ridiculous. As war drags on, protests in Israel become more political. Calls for early elections heard alongside calls for hostage deals. Protests in Jerusalem and Tel Aviv see increased use of force by police. There were tens of thousands. The number they say is 35,000. Israelis took to the streets on Saturday night to protest the Netanyahu government. They want a ceasefire and they want the genocide in the Gaza Strip to stop. That's happening in Israel. So it's not all Jewish people or all Israelis that are behind what's going on in Gaza. It's your political Israelis and your heavily politicized Jewish supremacists that are pushing this and then getting all these hate crime bills passed and trying to change ownership of TikTok so they can control it. And now it's Kristi Noem, who's really just, this is just getting ridiculous, Kristi. Right now would be a great time to delete TikTok, she says in this interview on Newsmax in clip 3.
The fact that it is owned by China should be alarming to every single American. It's also how they are gathering data and information off of our phones. When you give TikTok access to your phone, such as downloading their app and watching their videos, they're collecting what those videos are and what other apps you access, what other information you may store into your phone, what your contacts are. They may even have ways to get into your financial institutions, your banking apps. And we don't know how extensive their penetration is into our lives because they don't follow any rules. They're nefarious actors and they hate the United States of America.
Talk about a fall from grace. As if TikTok is the threat for all the things she just mentioned. I'm not saying the threats that the Chinese communists pose or the threats that she's proposing the Chinese communists potentially have here are not real, but why TikTok? What about when China owns all the means of production and manufacturing and goods and essential minerals and Apple and everything else? Like, really? TikTok? No, something else is going on. But it has nothing to do with the support for Palestine on the platform. It's definitely not that. I mean, it's just ridiculous. Talk about a bought and paid for politician. Couldn't be more obvious. But you know what's even more pathetic? The amount of huffing and puffing and the fervor that we've seen from our Congress and now governors in support of Israel, I've never seen anything like it for support of America. What about this? You want to talk about propagandizing the youth? Who's responsible for this, may I ask? According to the latest Gallup data, 7.2% of U.S. adults identify as LGBT. And when you break it down by generation, it's Gen Z that is up to 20%. That's double. Millennials was 10%. Gen Z, 20%. Who's responsible for that? Who's doing that? Who is sexually confusing and disorienting and grooming the children? Where's the outrage for that? Where's somebody trying to get to the bottom of that? Where's somebody trying to figure out who's responsible and cut them off from reaching the youth? Anybody? Somebody explain that to me. What do you think about Anna Kasparian here on the Young Turks in clip 6?
AIPAC is evil. AIPAC is evil. Evil. My fellow Americans, are you okay with that? Are you okay with a lobbying group representing the best interests of a foreign government telling you you need to bust your ass every day, work a job that you likely hate, and have a portion of your earnings taken from you by our federal government and funneled to the Israeli government so they can commit atrocities in the Gaza Strip? Are you okay with that? Because I'm not okay with that. And nothing gets under my skin more, okay, than hearing these pieces of crap say things that make it clear that they feel entitled to our money. Entitled. That gets under my skin more than you guys understand, okay?
Mm-hmm. Now, what's interesting about her little rant there is, why doesn't the same apply to other foreign countries that might influence Joe Biden? Or why not just generally speaking, you're upset that people feel entitled to the tax dollars, but little Anna, don't you realize in a way that that is the American left? Now, I get it. You obviously have a problem with Israel and maybe Jewish people in general, and your diatribe there might make sense. I might even agree with it. But you know that there's other issues, too, and that it's liberals that feel entitled to our tax dollars when you're fighting fake climate change or funding the illegal immigrant invasion at the southern border, or they buy and pay for politicians like Joe Biden that you vote for and support. You know there's, well, I'm just looking for some consistency here.
He's done such a bad job. But you look at what Democrats have done. Look at Illinois. I don't know how it continues. You have this guy Pritzker. I don't know. He's too busy eating. He wants to eat all the time. Would you like a hamburger? How many do you want? Five? I'll have five burgers, please. You go to his office. Would you like a hamburger? Yeah. Okay, I'll have five burgers, please. Who the hell orders five burgers? But look.
Well, hold on a second there. That five burger sounds kind of good. For Pritzker, though, he needs to hit the weight room after. That's another story. All right, final segment here of the InfoWars War Room, brought to you by InfoWarsStore.com. And it looks like we're going to be able to get through all the news here, if I can be diligent here, in the final segment. Russian President Vladimir Putin wins in a landslide re-election victory on Sunday. Now, I believe he won in a landslide. I mean, 87% of the vote seems almost unbelievable. But I talk to people in Russia, and they say, yeah, no, he's really that popular. And who knows? Maybe if we had fair elections here, Trump would get somewhere around 80% too. But if you want to question, if you're an American and you want to question the legitimacy of a Russian election, and you don't question the legitimacy of a Biden election, then I'm sorry, I can't hear you. Because you're living in la-la land. And you have a log in your eye wanting to talk about Russian elections, but then not speaking out against American elections where Joe Biden gets more votes than Barack Obama. Joe Biden gets more votes than registered voters in many counties. Joe Biden gets the vote Viagra in five states at 3:30, 4:30 in the morning, just enough to win. So I don't want to hear it talking about rigged elections in Russia when you have a log in your eye not addressing the elections in America. But then he tells it like it is in a victory speech when he takes questions from media talking about, hey, you think Russia is persecuting its opposition? Again, there's a log in your eye, clip 18.
If you want my opinion in terms of whether our elections are democratic, I believe that, yes, they're democratic. Whereas in some other countries, like in your country, can you consider democratic when one side is using the justice machine in order to attack one of the candidates? We do not have any preference for any candidates in the U.S. We will work with anyone who is elected. But using administrative resources, justice system, this has become a joke, an international shame for the U.S., for your so-called democratic system. And I believe that I've got all reasons to believe that there's no democracy in the election process in the Western countries and especially in the U.S.
So, is that not legitimate? Oh, you want to criticize our elections? You got a log in your eye. You want to criticize me going after my opposition? You got a log in your eye. And he's right. So, whether you think the election was legitimate or not, whether you think Putin is an authoritarian or not, Joe Biden is illegitimate. Joe Biden is an authoritarian. So, thank you. Next question. By the way, this is just, I don't even know, how do you explain this? You have a Ukrainian adult film actress who's doing a charitable photo shoot for the war in Ukraine, posing with wounded Ukrainian soldiers. Just throw it up there. And so she's masquerading around, and it's actually really sad because you have all these wounded Ukrainians from the war with their limbs blown off, their legs, their hands, everything. And it's like, oh, here, pose with this porn star, and we'll raise some money for the war and for helping the people. It's really just sick. It's really just sick. But this is what war has come to. You don't fight war for nobility or land or resources. It's all political power brokering. It's all central bank, military industrial complex profiteering. And then innocent men, mostly, it's women now too, buy into the propaganda and go lose everything. And the central bankers and the political class, they actually laugh and they think you're stupid. I mean, Joe Biden has said it many times. Other Democrats have said it. I mean, even Trump in a way has said it, actually. I mean, yeah, Trump has said it. It's like, yeah, you bought into the propaganda, you bought the lies that led you to war, and then you went and fought and you lost a limb or you lost an arm and you died. Yeah, I guess you're not very bright. Now, I think that's kind of a cold-hearted stance to take because you're well-meaning and you get deceived. But imagine, that's all these Ukrainians forced to fight, lied to about Putin, lied to about Russia, all so that the Western-backed military-industrial complex can profit and launder money and weapons through the vassal client state of Ukraine. And now you see all these men destroyed and their lives forever changed because of it. But hey, we got a porn star. She wants to take a picture with you. Cool, huh? Pretty cool, isn't it? Yeah, you don't have legs anymore, but hey, look at this. By the way, this was like when Trump said 30% of the women that cross the southern border get raped, and then they fact-checked him, and it was like 50% or whatever. Do you guys remember that? It was like back in like 2017 or so. Trump, in a speech, said 30% of the women that cross the southern border get raped, and then the fact-checkers were like, no, it's not true. It's 50% of the women. Like, oh, so you're even making Trump's... The crew is telling me that Trump said 70% and the fact checker said 80%. Point is, the number went higher with the fact check, making Trump's argument even better and the case for strong borders even better, even though they're open borders. Similar thing happens here. Mario Nafal reporting 70% of F-35s may not be combat ready. Oh boy, our military is not combat ready. And then the fact check says, well, actually it's... 55%. It's 55%. Well, that doesn't really make you feel very good as the Biden administration is starting war with everybody on the planet. And our military is not combat ready. But would you be surprised under Joe Biden and Lloyd Austin? Would you really be surprised? General Milley? These guys probably put on red high heels and doggy puppy kinks and treat each other like P. Diddy at an Usher show. All right, I mean, I can make the jokes for her. But seriously, does that make you feel very good? More than half of these military aircraft not even combat ready? By the way, you know who's been saying that for a while? Colonel Douglas McGregor. Been saying that for quite some time, actually. Yeah. I guess he was right, after all. I guess he was right. Wild photos show spring break mayhem in Miami Beach as cops arrest more than 250 partiers. So Miami tried to stop this trend. I mean, this was after last year where there were literal killings. So they tried to stop this violent spring break trend where the partiers show up in mass. And by the way, there were other videos. I mean, it's the same story, just totally out of control and fights and brawls and everything from the partiers. And so Miami tried to stop it this year, failed. Maybe these crackdowns will help for next year, but it's the partiers. Adidas has posted its first loss in 30 years and warns sales in North America will fall again. Well, do you think that's the Biden economy or the fact that you guys don't know how to make a quality shoe anymore? I'm on the fence with this one. I think it might be a little of both, but I got to tell you, I'm somebody that would always buy Adidas for running shoes or workout exercise shoes. They don't make quality shoes anymore. You know, that's a whole nother story. Why do tennis shoes just suck now? Can somebody answer this for me? Have you ever noticed that? They just suck. They're ugly. They're not comfortable. They aren't practical, but okay. All right, as we go to break, there was a tennis championship this weekend, the Indian Wells championship match, and a hero emerged. A hero emerged and made the TV coverage. Guys, please put the screen for me. This is the live coverage of the Indian Wells championship match this weekend between two of the top tennis players, Medvedev and Karaz or something. Alcaraz. Medvedev and Alcaraz. And a hero emerges. The Alex Jones mask becomes the center. Look at that. I need to know if this hero woman can ever call into the show, we will get you an autographed Alex Jones mask for that amazing troll job.